You should all have a copy of the outline. If you don't have one, if you raise your hand, Chuck will get you one pretty quickly, all right? So if you take these, anyone need one, just kind of slip up your hand. Very good. Okay, we're doing very well. Okay. Psalm 149, verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praise in the congregation of the saints." We'd like to talk about the practices of church music in the church. What I'd like to do this morning as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table is finish our study of music, and then, Lord willing, next week I'd like to pivot to a detailed study of 1 Peter. We'd like to begin 1 Peter next Lord's Day morning. So in the meanwhile, if you'd like to start reading 1 Peter, that would be wonderful. Peter teaches us how to prepare for coming persecution. Peter's audience, they were being persecuted, but the worst was yet to come. And we believe by the grace of God, the mercy of God, God's been holding things back for our country, but we believe persecution is coming. And 1 Peter is a great book to study with that in mind. So what I'd like to do this morning is take what we've looked at during the last 3 weeks on the Lord's Day morning and sort of give you some additional application. We want to apply it. And then I'm planning to come back in the next session, in the 11 o'clock session, 45 minutes or so, and then apply this a little bit more. So if you'd like to stay, we'd sure love to have you. And during all this, I just want to express my appreciation for you being very, very gracious. Music in the church is a tough issue. And you folks have been very, very kind and very, very gracious, and I appreciate that. We'll follow the outline this morning. I'll be adding a couple extra scriptures you may want to jot in as I mention them. The outline, Tim put it on our website. And I also want to encourage you again, if you have not, to pick up a copy of the article right on the table, Discernment in Church Music. We'll be going over that a little bit again during the next hour. And then, if you have not picked up a copy yet, I strongly encourage you to get a copy of the book by Keith and Kirsten Getty, Sing, How Worship Transforms Your Life, Family, and Church. You want to read this book. I've read it several times. It's a keeper. It'll bring joy to your heart and will give you a biblical reason to be involved in good music and singing, not only in the church, but also throughout the week, and we'll mention this. You want to get a copy of this book and maybe get one and pass it along to somebody else. Following your outline, so far we considered a principle based on creation, and that's music is a gift of God, is it not? Amen? Music's a great gift. Genesis 1, verse 31, it says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was what? Very good." Paul will come back after sin has entered into the world and everything is tainted by sin. He will still say in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, "God gives us richly all things to enjoy." And I read for you several times from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, where Paul told Timothy, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving." Music is a gift from God for us to enjoy. Second principle, we went over the fact, I believe the principle, that music is not only a gift, but it is a powerful influence in your life. It's an influence for good, is it not? I love music. I love the wonderful influence it is. Music's a blessing. Music's for edification. It's for encouragement. It is for motivation. It's for confession. You ever try to do a quick walk around the neighborhood or exercise without some good music playing? It is hard. It is such an encouragement. We use it for declaring our faith, to transformation. In fact, we taught our kids to sing scripture as young kids, and the word of God stick with them. It can be a blessing. It can also be an influence for evil. It can influence people toward immorality, discouragement, bad behavior, thinking, and as we looked at in 1 Samuel, even influenced by the demonic realm. Last week, we looked at a third principle, a purpose for music in the church is the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of themes from music in the Old Testament, but when we get into the present church age, we see a major purpose for church music is the exaltation, the glory and honor of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:18 is a verse I keep coming in my own study back to time and time again. It says that in everything, speaking of the Lord Jesus, he might be preeminent. He might have first place. And that theme is very vividly expressed in much modern church music. And may Jesus Christ be praised. May he be lifted up through our music. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. I was listening to the great Dr. John Piper some time ago, and I won't quote him. I can't quote him exactly. But Dr. Piper said, speaking to us as individuals, there's only two people who really matter in your life. Number one's the Lord Jesus. Second person is your wife or your husband. That's it. Everybody's going to come and go. Everyone else is going to come and go. But the Lord Jesus and your spouse are the two that need to get all your attention. Now, before I look at a fourth point, I need to make a correction from last week in the area of applying the text. I think we were okay in looking at the biblical references. I went off a little bit in the wrong direction in applying some of the truth that we were looking at. In fact, I said some things or else it came across in some ways the very opposite of what I wanted to say. So I know you're all going to want to go and run and see what we said last week. I sort of gave the impression that only old music is good, and so I want to correct that this morning. I did not want to say that at all. My problem last week, Chuck, I read two books I was given as a youth in the 70s to read about music, and I think that influenced my... That happens sometimes, so anyhow, we'll correct that this morning, hopefully, all right? Let's look at principle number four. Don't get mad at me this morning. I want to lay some things out for you. They're listed on the outline. Let's go, okay? Number four, let's talk about the practical working out of this at York Bible Church. Let's take the principles we've been looking at the last 3 weeks and bring them home a little bit, okay? There's no specific instructions in the New Testament for the regulation and use of music in the church, all right? We know that. There's very few references dealing with anything like that. But there's a lot of apostolic commands concerning a lot of other areas. And you can think this through me. What does the Bible talk to us about as believers in Jesus Christ? There's a lot of instructions concerning work, concerning giving, a lot of scripture concerning spiritual gifts, qualifications for those who shepherd and serve. It's amazing how many details Paul gives Timothy in 1 Timothy 5 concerning how you're supposed to take care of widows in the church. It's amazing the list of instructions. You'd think he'd say something about music in the church. He doesn't. There's commands about being single, being married, intimacy, church discipline, but nothing, if maybe just a little, about music. I will read those references this morning. Yet over the past number of decades, music has evolved into a major point of discussion and contention in the church. So this morning, I want to go over two points and a lot of little ones in between. I want to talk about the practice of church music for us, and then second, for you as an individual. Okay, so let's talk about the practice of church music for the church here as we meet. The little article we've been passing out, the sermon in church music, Pastor Van gives 17 principles to apply in our life as a church. 17 principles. We'll go over some more of those in the next session this morning. But I want to look at five summary principles that he gave. I changed them a little bit, and then we'll look at some other things, all right? If we're going to follow the admonitions in the Old Testament and the New Testament, these things ought to be true in our church. Number one, singing in the church is not an option. You got that? Singing in the church is not an option. It's a struggle today with COVID. We're listening to the experts out there, the fellow pastors and doctors, and every time, I can't believe this, every time I want to open up more, something happens. And I talked to one of our doctors this week and said, be careful, be slow. So If we need to sing more and put on a mask, we'll do that. But singing is not an option in the church, okay? It's simply being obedient. We read one of the greatest, well, they're all great psalms, but Psalm 150. I love that psalm. Psalm 150, verse 6. It says, it is, Psalm 150 is a universal invitation and declaration for praise and worship. It's great. Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The continual admonition in Psalms as we look at praises, sing a new song. Sing a new song. What has God done for you? Sing it. And as we look at the New Testament, we see that singing is a response to the imperative of being controlled by the Spirit of God. I'm going to read two references probably several times this morning. Colossians 3:16 is one of them. So if you want to find that, Colossians 3, verse 16 is a good verse when it comes to music in the church, music in the Christian life. Colossians 3:16. Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom as you teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What's the next word there? Singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Singing is not an option in the church. Keith Getty, who is writing and has written a lot of wonderful modern church hymns, states four practical truths in his little book, Sing. I took these right out of his book. Four practical truths about singing in the church. These are good. Keith says, singing takes Sunday's truths into Monday and throughout the rest of the week. That's good. If we do it right and we're working on it, singing takes what we're learning on Sunday into the rest of the week. Last week, I think I'll mention this again, last week the ensemble in a wonderful way sang, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. That ought to reverberate all week in our lives. When you hear good news and bad news, we ought to just step back and sing, soon and very soon, we're going to, I'm not going to sing it for you, we are going to see the King, okay? Singing takes Sunday's truths, biblical truths, into Monday and throughout the rest of the week. Second thing Keith said, he said, singing sustains you in every season of life. Singing sustains you in every season of life. Boy, the book of Psalms emphasizes it, does it not? David will talk about when he's suffering, when he's alone, when he's joyful. And you have told us during testimony time how during going through certain things, a loss of a loved one, a sickness, maybe a joyful time, this song meant so much to you. This hymn became so much more meaningful to you going through different seasons of life. Singing sustains you in every season of life. Boy, how often have we sung, great is thy faithfulness. How often have we sung that? Third thing Keith Getty mentioned, he said, singing reminds you of what God has done in your life. That's why we love those testimony songs. Once I was blind, but now I can see. There's a whole list of them. Singing reminds us of what God has done in our lives. And then he says, I like this. He says, singing keeps your mind on eternity. Singing keeps your mind on eternity. When you're singing good, Christian, godly music, it should keep your mind on eternity, on things above. Singing in the church is not an option. Second point I want to make this morning on your outline, church music, Christian music, and preaching are to be connected. And this takes a little effort, and our team is doing a great job. Preaching, teaching, and music are to function together. That's when you go to Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16 that I just read, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You're seeing that it takes the word of God preached, the word of God taught, and connects it with expressions of worship and singing. It's not about performance. It's not about entertainment. It's about worship and edification. And I want you to know that our team plans and schedules and works on having the music back up illustrate what we're teaching, what we're trying to get across. And it's hard for them. It's hard for Brian. It's hard for Sue. It's hard for the rest of them to do that because they never know where I'm going sometimes. And sometimes I don't know until I get there. You know, you're scheduled to do this, but then the Spirit takes you a little deeper in a different way. But music and preaching are to be connected. Music and preaching are to be connected. And I mentioned this before. You've seen this so well illustrated with the Billy Graham Crusades, have you not? Where before Dr. Graham would get up, and now Franklin Graham gets up and just gives the gospel. Boy, the music is just gospel-centered. Whether it's the choir or a solo, it all functions as one. Very, very important. Number three, third, the Word of God, these principles teach us that in our church, music in the church is to be balanced and to be varied. Music in the church is to be varied and to be balanced, or balanced and varied. I'm going to read from Ephesians 5:19 here. Ephesians 5:19, it says the same thing as Colossians, the same verse, basically. Ephesians 5, verse 19 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Those are three different categories of music. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. I know some churches that want to be so pure that they will only sing psalms. And not only will they only sing psalms, they will not use any instrumentation. I say, God bless them. They're trying to do something, but you know what? You miss out on a lot of other wonderful truths, a lot of balance. It's sort of like a healthy physical diet. Some of us would like to eat chicken three times a day. How many would like to have chicken three times a day? And that's it. I enjoy that. But that's not good for a balanced diet. Church music is to be balanced and varied. And most of us default to just doing one thing or liking one thing and one thing alone. Number four. Hang on here. New church music is not always bad, and old church music is not always good. Did you get that? You got that? All right. New is not always bad. Old is not always good. I got to say that because I think if you listened to me last week, that's what I indicate, that if it's old is good, if it's new, it's no good, right? I'll tell you, there are many new, wonderful Christian hymns that are too good to miss out on. There's wonderful modern hymns and spiritual songwriters and singers. It is just amazing how God is raising up a whole new generation of men and women actually writing hymns. And again, if you looked at the article, we'll look at it again. Not everything is singable. I mean, some things are appropriate for maybe a soloist or an ensemble to sing, maybe not congregation, but there's a lot of good Christian hymns coming out. On March 12th of this last year, I may have mentioned this before, but I was down at America's Keswick for a board meeting. In fact, I plan on going this week. I haven't been there since the shutdown. That was like a day or so before the shutdown. It was amazing. We were having a men's fellowship and a meeting, and we were in the Ross Auditorium. The auditorium was packed, and I knew this because the director told me what was going to happen. He told me in the afternoon. But they had this men's meeting where they'll sing some praise songs, and then a guy will get up and give his testimony, and then someone will bring the men a message, and then they'll go swim for a while on a Thursday night before they go home. So when they were about to end the meeting, the director got up, and he said, "We have a surprise for you. We have a surprise for you. We have a treat for you." Casting Crowns was in Trenton. Because of COVID, they canceled a concert where there's supposed to be thousands of people in attendance, and Casting Crowns came to Keswick to do a mini concert. Now, I didn't know a whole lot about Casting Crowns. I heard them a little bit, but I thought, this is going to be good. So Casting Crowns walked in the side door with their acoustic guitars. They got on the platform. The place was excited. They were excited. This is amazing, because if you want to see them in concert, you'd pay a lot of dollars to see them. They came in, humble bunch of guys, and just played some of their songs, gave their testimony. It was wonderful. And I was able to hang out with them later and ask them what kind of symbols they use and important doctrinal questions like that. But why I was so encouraged is these men on the weekend, when they are not out doing concerts, they are all youth pastors. They're all youth pastors. And they said in one of the testimonies, you know, we've taken some of the great hymns of the faith and we have given them, some of them, a new flavor so our kids, our teens, can relate to some of what's going on. And I thought, wow, that is wonderful. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to use new music in the church just because it is new. All right? We have some old hymns, and Brian and I talk about this often. There's some old hymns that we like and we like to sing, but the theology is not always that good. And yet we like them so much, we use them anyhow. But there's some new things that are really, really good. Do not think that old is better and new is always bad. Then number five, modern church music can be beneficial and edifying. A little redundancy there. I've encouraged our team, our music team, to help us learn some new hymns because we're slow at that. We're going to keep doing the old classics. We love the old hymns, but we need to learn some new songs. We need to learn the new hymns and choruses because they're good for us. We have to keep growing or we'll be stale. 1 Corinthians 14:26, Paul said, in talking about gifts, I'll apply this to music, he said, let all things be done for edification. Let all things be done for edification, helping us worship and thereby grow. All right? That's the easy part. Now, let me go to number two here and give you a couple ideas about the practice of church Christian music for you. The practice of church music for you. These are not mandates from Mount Sinai, okay? I can't do that. I want to give you this morning six suggestions. And I would strongly suggest that you take one or two of them and put them in the practice. They will be a blessing. I promise you that. If not, talk to Brian, okay, if you don't like it. If you like it, tell me. If you don't like it, see him, all right? And we'll be okay, all right? That's fair. He's bigger than me. He was a Marine. He still is a Marine. Number one, I think I need a bulletproof vest for this one. Number one, I want to suggest that you seriously work on expanding your appreciation. I was going to talk about appetite. I changed it to appreciation. Seriously work on expanding your appreciation for newer, modern Christian music. And I added on my outline, that you might not like at all. We're not talking about what you like. It's what you need to appreciate. If it was up to me, I would listen to a Christianized version of the Tijuana Brass 24/7. I mean, I love the Tijuana Brass. I mean, you know, and in my brain, I could take any hymn and Tijuanaize it. I can. I've been doing it since like third or fourth grade. If you don't believe me, we'll try it. We can take any hymn and, you know, put the Herb Alpert spin on it. I love Herb Alpert. He just turned 85. I just watched a thing on his life. That's my zone, okay? The horns and the brass. So I get stuck. At college, that was a long time ago, okay? I forget. It was a long time ago. At college, they made us take a class called, did you ever take a class? Called Music Appreciation. You remember that class? It was required to get your bachelor's degree. I had to take a class on music appreciation. And guess what? The teacher did not play music that we liked. Okay, we thought, oh, this is great. No, she played music we never heard of before. And the authors, the composers were dead for centuries. But we had to learn how not to like it necessarily, but to appreciate it. Okay, just to appreciate it. I can Tijuanaize that stuff too. Believe me, I can do that. I was taking out a guy for lunch for a while. I was working with a younger guy. And one day, I took him out to Hoss's. I thought, man, this is a premier restaurant. You know, we almost get dressed up to go to Hoss's. You know, that's sort of higher class for us than going to Rutter's or someplace. So we went to Hoss's, and we sat down. And, you know, they used to order when you walked in. Now they give you a menu. So we sat down, and gave us a menu. And I said to him, I said, man, you could have anything you want is on me. I'll give the bill to Chuck, but, man, anything you want is on me. So you know what he ordered? Chicken tenders. Chicken tenders. All right. So, okay, that's interesting. I said, man, there's a great salad bar. There's all this stuff. There's all kind of great food. Chicken tenders. That was it. That was that. Okay. So a little while later, we went out to Chick-fil-A. I said, man, I'll buy you lunch. Anything you want. You know what you order, don't you? Chicken tenders. Chicken tenders. So we went out to a new sandwich shop down the road here. It's out of business now because we quit going to it. A little sandwich shop in York, the old Friendlies. And so they have all kind of, I think it was like a Mexican, Dominican Republic restaurant. It was a lot of international stuff going on there. So I said, man, they got a great fish platter here. They got all kind of neat things. My wife loves it. You can have anything you want. You know what he ordered? Say it.
Chicken tenders.
Mike, say it, man. Chicken tenders. That boy got a problem. That's a spiritual problem. No. Something happened to him. And if you know who I'm talking about, you know what happened to him. One day he fell in love. And he got married. And guess what his wife said to him? You are no longer going to eat. Right. Last time I talked to him, I said, hey, man, what are you eating? He's eating everything. He's eating everything, whether he likes it or not. I mean, last night, I was working on my culinary skills, and I have this down. I can make a gluten-free chicken parmigiana, all right? Gluten-free breaded chicken parmigiana with artificial cheese. How's that, all right? And I thought, man, it tastes really, really good. But then my wife said to me, she bought this thing, and I do not like to take her grocery shopping because she puts stuff in the cart. And you know what that means? If she puts it in the cart, that means I'm going to have to eat it. All right, I like to do the shopping because I like to eat what I like to eat, you know? So she bought this thing. Have you ever had a spaghetti squash? You have. The first time I saw that thing, I was shocked that spaghetti could come out of a squash. So she said, we're going to have spaghetti squash. Okay. So, you know, the stuff that kind of looks like spaghetti, smells like spaghetti, but when you get your chicken parmesan on top of that stuff, it doesn't taste like spaghetti, all right? But I'll tell you what. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. We had the same week, we had butternut squash. You eat butternut squash? It would help you, Tom, if you eat it, man. That would be real. You know what? If you take me out to the Linden Diner and say, hey, man, you could have anything you want, I will not order butternut squash. I will probably not ask him if they have spaghetti squash. I guarantee you I won't ask him that. But you know what, beloved? I appreciate that food. I appreciate that food. And man, if you want to sit there and order, I say, God bless you. I will not frown. You know, maybe we ought to approach gospel music a little bit that way. You may not have to like it. You may not have to go in your car and turn it on. But we need to develop an appreciation for some of this. Otherwise, we will get stuck. Here's an assignment for you. I've listed some Christian radio stations, some you may recognize, some you may not recognize, that I suggest that when you get into the car by yourself or with someone else, I guess, I would encourage you to listen to some of the modern, current Christian music. And DAC is really broadening their selection to old and new in a wonderful way, and some of the other ones. You're not going to like some of this stuff. You're going to want to turn some of this stuff up, but just like what I do with spaghetti squash, okay? You're not going to want to eat it three times a day, all right? You may not even eat it once a year. I understand that. But I want to encourage you to appreciate it. And don't be upset. A lot of it we would never use here. Okay, we'd never use here. That's not us. But we need to be able to appreciate it. There's some good stuff there. All right, you get that? You want lunch now, I'm sure. We want to go eat after that. All right. Work on your appreciation for modern Christian music. I do that. I listen to some of those stations, and some of it, I don't like it. I don't like it. They don't have enough brass in it for me. They don't have enough fidelity. I like fidelity in my music. But you know what? there are people who love the Lord, it's gospel content, it's biblical, and it's helping a lot of people. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I asked my neighbor, I said, man, you listen to Tijuana Brass? He said, the who? He never heard of that stuff. So anyhow, second thing, here's second suggestion. You know who they are, right, Tim? You know who they are. Yeah. All right. Commit to learning modern hymns and songs. Commit yourself to learning modern hymns and songs. Most of us get stuck in the age we grew up in. We like that and we feel safe there. And we don't want anything else. And it's like eating chicken tenders all the time. Yeah, it's not good. Learn new hymns. Learn new songs. And we'll help you with that. It's going to be painful because the first time you hear something new, I don't like that. Why? It's new. So it must not be good. Learn something new. There's wonderful songs by Stuart Townsend and Keith Getty have written a lot of good hymns. In fact, if you didn't know they were new, you probably wouldn't know it because they're just so classic. One is called The Perfect Wisdom of Our God. Another one is called Creation Sings. You may not know this, but R.C. Sproul, before he went home to be with the Lord Jesus, he was a hymn writer. He put out several albums of hymns, majestic hymns, new hymns that he wrote. They're wonderful. Bob Coughlin's another great writer. Oh, Great God, hymns. These are a little older here. Hymns and songs by Keith Green, Michael W. Smith, Andre Crouch. We just sang, Emery sang for us a couple weeks ago, He Will Hold Me Fast by the Gettys. There's current spiritual songs. Only Jesus by Casting Crowns. God Only Knows. One song called Control. One called Greater. There's a song out there they keep playing over and over again called, Through the Eye of the Storm? That's the right title? Yeah. Does that get you going or what? Well, when you're going through a storm, and we're going through a storm, you want to know that God's in control. And some of those songs just like, wow, they just lift you up and they're new and they're godly and we need to learn them. Number three, and there's a lot of them. In fact, interesting, the hymnal that they adopted out at Grace Community Church in California has an amazing amount of modern hymns and choruses. Number three, beware of the judgmental spirit. This will kill us. Beware of the judgmental spirit. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you have them, and please bring your Bible, Romans 14. And if I ever do a series on music again, I'll probably start it with Romans 14, the whole chapter, because it deals with judgmentalism. It's dealing with food and days and different controversial issues. But Romans 14 has a lot to teach us about music and a lot to teach us about the danger of having a judgmental spirit. Looking down on people because they do things differently. Not caring about what others might enjoy and prefer. Judgmentalism is the failure to be flexible and a propensity to look down on everybody else as being wrong and you and I being the only ones who are right. That's judgmental. And Jesus says, when Jesus says, judge not lest ye be judged, he was not condemning discerning. He was condemning being judgmental, looking at everybody else, down on everybody else. And Romans, when you get into chapter 2, really has some strong things to say about that. Romans 14, Paul says, receive, accept. I think ESV uses the word welcome. I think it may use the word welcome. I like that. Welcome. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. And here we're talking about meat sacrificed to idols and culinary issues. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. Let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him. Verse 4. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he falls or stands or falls. Indeed he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. 4 was given to me several years ago by an older teacher, older pastor. And I was griping about a particular leader, a particular speaker in the world, you would know him, about some of his methods that I thought were wrong. And we're talking about that. I was excited about that. And he says, you know, you need to look at Romans chapter 4. You know what Romans chapter 14, verse 4. You know what Romans chapter 14, verse 4 said? Don't be the judge. God's the judge. God's the judge. You leave him alone. And we're not talking about sinful issues here. We're just talking about different ideas. Who are you to judge another's servant? In fact, I've mentioned this so many times. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, I don't even judge myself. I don't even judge myself. I'll let God do that. Do not judge another's servant. God will do that. Listen to this, verse 5. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. And it goes on and on and on and on. And I believe if you take this whole chapter and where Paul is talking about meat, just substitute in music, you'll see what's going on here. It's an encouragement here not to be judgmental. A judgmental spirit tears, destroys. Number four, let me suggest that you commit yourselves to be proactively an encourager of the team. Be an encourager of our team, not just our music team, but of young people as well. I hear it every now and then. Oh, I can't believe what the young people listen to. I'm talking about Christian music. I can't believe that stuff. I have no idea. You don't either. What young people are going through these days. I wouldn't want to raise our kids again. Boy, I'm glad they're growing and raising their own kids. I can watch this go on. I mean, they are dealing with stuff today we have never dreamed of could ever happen. I mean, the little kids know stuff running around my neighborhood. I don't even know what they're talking about when it comes to immoral practice, all that kind of stuff. They're exposed to things you had to work at being exposed to years ago. Give them a break. Give them a break. And the last thing we need to do is discourage young people when they're excited about worshiping and praising and maybe using their own style, okay? And maybe I won't like it. Maybe I want to stick to my pizza and Tijuana brass, but give them a break. Give them a break. Don't discourage them. Don't discourage them. I've heard, I'm not going to go over them this morning, maybe second hour because we're on live stream. I want to tell you a story next hour too. That's really, really encouraging. I don't want to do it live stream because I want to mention some names, but from a negative point of view, I can't believe some of the things I've heard about young people after they have sung a song or tried to get involved in worship. It's sinful. It's sinful. It's got to stop. We're not going to do that anymore, okay? We're not going to do that anymore. We're going to be an encourager of the team. The challenges of growing up today are amazing. And we want to ask ourselves a question. Are we communicating encouragement to the generation coming up or discouragement? We believe the Lord Jesus will come back at any moment, right? But he may not. He may not. And if he doesn't, there's work to do. There's work to do. Number five. I want to encourage you to be discerning. Continue to be discerning. Continue to be discerning. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, and Paul's dealing with prophecy here, but the truth applies to music. Test, examine all things. Hold fast what is good. Test, examine, hold fast to what is good. Reject what is evil. Always use the word of God as your criteria, Paul is telling us, and not my preferences, not my opinion. My opinion might be wrong. My preferences might be wrong. Continue to be discerning. We're always told in examining new music or old music, look at the lyrics, look at the lifestyle. There's certain music I can't listen to anymore because of what the lifestyle of the composer ended up doing. Same with you. You know that too. You just can't do anything. Look at lyrics. What's the content? What's the testimony like? And number six, I suggest, encourage you to sing and enjoy the wonderful gift of music. Charlie, I told you there was a day when I thought broccoli was poison and I couldn't stand the smell. Particularly when you start cooking broccoli, I thought that was the worst smell in the world. And then somebody started making me eating broccoli and visiting the hospital and looking at a lot of people struggling through cancer and other serious diseases, I did some research and found that, you know, broccoli is a good preventive, not a guarantee, but a good preventive towards some serious diseases. So I started eating broccoli at the salad bar. You know, you pick up a piece of broccoli and you smother it in ranch dressing so you can't taste the broccoli. You know, I was going to put some maple syrup on the spaghetti squash, but I didn't do that, you know. I would smother that broccoli and everything, and pretty soon, I don't know, I was at one place where they didn't have any ranch dressing, so I had to eat the broccoli raw. And you know what? It wasn't that bad. And if it would help me be a little healthier, I'm all for it. All right, bring it on. So then we started steaming it a little bit with a little ranch dressing on it, and not that bad. I've gotten to the point where I look for the broccoli. I really look for the asparagus, man, big time asparagus. I wasn't always like that. It took some work. But now I'm able to, by the grace of God and just growing up a little bit, enjoy a lot of things that God has created that I was not able to enjoy before. Keith Getty tells of how he used to hate scallops. And his wife wanted him to eat scallops. You can read the story. And so she brought him to a fancy restaurant, and she sat him right next to the window where he could watch the cook prepare the scallops. And he tried, and now you can't keep him away from scallops. Maybe that's not good for him. I don't know about that. Broccoli's probably better, but anyhow, enjoy the music. Enjoy singing. And we look forward to the day soon when we can abandon the mask and just sing our hearts out. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Let's bow for prayer as we prepare to observe the Lord's table. I think I know everyone here this morning, but you may be here or you may be watching, and you cannot really sing a new song because there is no new song in your heart. You've heard about the Lord Jesus. Maybe you've been in a place where you're singing about the Lord Jesus, but you have never placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is not your Savior. He's not your Lord. He's not your hope. You have no propensity to give him preeminence. I want to encourage you this morning to stop whatever you're doing and turn from what you're trusting in or hoping in or holding on to and come to Christ this morning. Believe in your heart that God loved us so much in spite of our sin, that he sent the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, to the cross to die for our sin. And the Bible says simply if we would just look to Christ and we believe in our hearts that Jesus died for us, we'll have the forgiveness of sin, the gift of everlasting life, absolutely free. And once you, by faith, are trusting in the Son of God, God has, by the Spirit of God, placed a new song in your heart, and you should be able to sing, blow the roof off. We often talk about how much we enjoy hearing the testimony of someone who is really deep in sins that we think are despicable, all sins bad. And then they hear the gospel and they place their faith in Christ and the light comes on and the joy is there and they are so excited. That could be you too as well. Simply abandon, throw off what you're trusting in, repent, and place your faith in Christ. And God will give you that new song. You do that right now, right in the quietness of this moment, whether you're at home or sitting here. You just tell God, form of a prayer. Prayer doesn't save, Jesus saves. You say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe I'm a sinner. I believe that you love me so much that you sent your Son to die for me. Father in heaven, to the best of my ability, I believe that when Jesus died, he died for me. I believe in Christ. I accept Christ. I'm trusting Christ, and Christ alone is my Savior. And then tell the Lord, thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for saving me. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're trusting Christ for the first time this morning, I'm not going to call you out, embarrass you. Just raise your hand. I want to just include you in prayer. Just say, Pastor Sutter, I'm trusting Christ this morning. I'm trusting Christ. Thanks. That's great. Thank you, Father, for giving us something to sing about. We hear the music of the world. They sing about everything and anything. And that's all they can sing about. Father, you, because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, what you've done for us, you have given us something to shout about, something to be excited about, something to sing about. And Father, may we enjoy that gift. Lift up our praises individually and corporately to you. And enjoy this wonderful, wonderful grace gift we have. Thank you for our musicians who work so hard to practice, to plan, to help us eat things we would not normally eat, sing things we would not normally sing, because biblically they believe is good for us. And Father, give us a flexible heart that will want to learn so we could worship you in spirit and in truth with more vigor as we see the day of Christ approaching. Thank you, Father, for those trusting Christ. May they grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.